Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, January the 21st, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today according to your will. We thank you for all that you have given us in that word, that we might learn therefrom and become transformed according to all that you would have us be. We ask that you would fill us with truth today and help us in our understanding that we might apply all that you give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we have come to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, and we begin at verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia, and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house, and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and departed. In the book Acts of the Apostles, beginning at page 211 and paragraph 1, it says this: "The time had come for the gospel to be proclaimed beyond the confines of Asia Minor. The way was prepared for Paul and his fellow workers to cross over into Europe. At Troas, on the borders of the Mediterranean Sea, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' The call was imperative, admitting of no delay. After he had seen the vision, declares Luke, who accompanied Paul and Silas and Timothy on the journey across to Europe, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city in that part of Macedonia and a colony. On the Sabbath," Luke continues, "we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Lydia received the truth gladly. She and her household were converted and baptized, and she entreated the apostles to make her house their home. As the messengers of the cross went about their work of teaching, a woman possessed of a spirit of divination followed them, crying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation.' And this did she many days." This woman was a special agent of Satan, and had brought to her masters much gain by soothsaying. Her influence had helped to strengthen idolatry. Satan knew that his kingdom was being invaded, and he resorted to this means of opposing the work of God, hoping to mingle his sophistry with the truths thought by those who were proclaiming the gospel message. The words of recommendation uttered by this woman were an injury to the cause of truth, distracting the minds of the people from the teachings of the apostles and bringing disrepute upon the gospel. And by them, many were led to believe that the men who spoke with the spirit and power of God were actuated by the same spirit as this emissary of Satan. For some time, the apostles endured this opposition. Then, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Paul commanded the evil spirit to leave the woman. Her immediate silence testified that the apostles were the servants of God, and that the demon had acknowledged them to be such and had obeyed their command. Dispossessed of the evil spirit and restored to her right mind, the woman chose to become a follower of Christ. Then her masters were alarmed for their craft. They saw that all hope of receiving money from her divinations and soothsayings was at an end, and that their source of income would soon be entirely cut off if the apostles were allowed to continue the work of the gospel. Many others in the city were interested in gaining money through satanic delusions, and these, fearing the influence of a power that could so effectually stop their work, raised a mighty cry against the servants of God. They brought the apostles before the magistrates with the charge, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." Stirred by a frenzy of excitement, the multitude rose against the disciples. A mob spirit prevailed and was sanctioned by the authorities, who tore the outer garments from the apostles and commanded that they should be scourged. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. The apostles suffered extreme torture because of the painful position in which they had been left, but they did not murmur. Instead, in the utter darkness and desolation of the dungeon, they encouraged each other by words of prayer and sang praises to God because they were found worthy to suffer shame for his sake. Their hearts were cheered by a deep and earnest love for the cause of their Redeemer. Paul thought of the persecution he had been instrumental in bringing upon the disciples of Christ, and he rejoiced that his eyes had been opened to see and his heart to feel the power of the glorious truths which once he despised. With astonishment, the other prisoners heard the sound of prayer and singing issuing from the inner prison. They had been accustomed to hear shrieks and moans, cursing and swearing, breaking the silence of the night, but never before had they heard words of prayer and praise ascending from that gloomy cell. Guards and prisoners marveled and asked themselves who these men could be who, cold, hungry, and tortured, could yet rejoice. Meanwhile, the magistrates returned to their homes, congratulating themselves that by prompt and decisive measures they had quelled a tumult. But on the way they heard further particulars concerning the character and work of the men they had sentenced to scourging and imprisonment. They saw the woman who had been freed from satanic influence, and were struck by the change in her countenance and demeanor. In the past she had caused the city much trouble, now she was quiet and peaceable. And they realized that in all probability they had visited upon two innocent men the rigorous penalty of the Roman law. They were indignant with themselves and decided that in the morning they would command that the apostles be privately released and escorted from the city beyond the danger of violence from the mob. But while men were cruel and vindictive, or criminally negligent of the solemn responsibilities devolving upon them, God had not forgotten to be gracious to his servants. All heaven was interested in the men who were suffering for Christ's sake, and angels were sent to visit the prison. At their tread, the earth trembled. The heavily bolted prison doors were thrown open. The chains and fetters fell from the hands and feet of the prisoners, and a bright light flooded the prison. The keeper of the jail had heard with amazement the prayers and songs of the imprisoned apostles. When they were led in, he had seen their swollen and bleeding wounds, and had himself caused their feet to be fastened to the stocks. He had expected to hear from them bitter groans and imprecations, but he heard instead songs of joy and praise. With these songs in his ears, the jailer had fallen into a deep sleep, from which he was awakened by the earthquake and the shaking of the prison walls. Starting up in alarm, he saw with dismay that all the prison doors were open, and the fear flashed upon him that the prisoners had escaped. He remembered with what explicit charge Paul and Silas had been entrusted to his care the night before, and he was certain that death would be the penalty of his apparent unfaithfulness. In the bitterness of his spirit, he felt that than to submit to the disgraceful execution. Drawing his sword, he was about to kill himself when Paul's voice was heard in the word of cheer. "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Every man was in his place, restrained by the power of God exerted through one fellow prisoner. The severity with which the jailer had entreated the apostles had not aroused their resentment. Paul and Silas had the spirit of Christ, not the spirit of revenge. Their hearts, filled with the love of the Savior, had no room for malice against their persecutors. The jailer dropped his sword and, calling for lights, hastened into the inner dungeon. He would see what manner of men these were who repaid their kindness the cruelty with which they had been treated. Reaching the place where the apostles were and casting himself before them, he asked their forgiveness. Then bringing them out into the open court, he inquired, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The jailer had trembled as he beheld the wrath of God manifested in the earthquake. When he thought that the prisoners had escaped, he had been ready to die by his own hand. But now all these things seemed of little consequence compared with the new strange dread that agitated his mind and his desire to possess the tranquility and cheerfulness shown by the apostles under suffering and abuse. He saw in their countenances the light of heaven. He knew that God had interposed in a miraculous manner to save their lives. And with peculiar force, the words of the spirit-possessed woman came to his mind. "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." With deep humility, he asked the apostles to show him the way of life. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house," they answered. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. The jailer then washed the wounds of the apostles and ministered to them, after which he was baptized by them with all his household. A sanctifying influence diffused itself among the inmates of the prison, and the minds of all were opened to listen to the truths spoken by the apostles. They were convinced that the God whom these men served had miraculously released them from bondage. What a powerful story as found in the book Acts of the Apostles. It is a story of promise to those who in the last days will be taken and placed in prison and be persecuted for the name of the Lord because they insist on sharing the truth as it is in God's word. But the reassurance of this story is that the same God that took care of the disciples in that day will be the same God who will take care of the disciples in our day. As we go forward to carry the final word of warning to the world and to encourage those who need to hear the truth to turn from their sinful ways and walk according to God's word, the protecting power of the angels of heaven will indeed accompany us. As we are persecuted, we will stand protected and surrounded by those who indeed have been assigned to our safety. Today you can trust in God. And I know that sometimes you pass through difficult times and you think that it is the end of the road, that there is no other answer that can be found. I want you to know today that even though you pass through trials, God allows this to happen so that we might be fashioned and turned and prepared for the time to come. Our characters can be reformed and we can reflect more clearly having passed through the trials and the tribulations and having developed faith and trust in God. We can be prepared for the time to come. So today I plead with you. I encourage you. Do not be afraid of the difficult times to come, but rather do that which God has called you to do. Be a witness, both verbally and from the point of view of your lifestyle. Even your facial expression ought to carry that joy and peace of knowing that there is a God in heaven who will protect from harm and danger. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have retained these narratives so that we might learn therefrom and develop faith in you. We're thankful that today we can trust you implicitly, because we know that the same God that protected these men in the prison, in the inner prison, is the same God that exists today and who will protect us, whatever our circumstances might be. We thank you in advance for all that you will do, and we ask that you would give us the strength necessary to walk with you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, January the 21st, 2020.